Tones is available. Okay. Parshas Miketz is probably both well known from a halachic perspective for a comment in a limud based on the Talmud Yerushalmi. If you take a look at the Chumash, when it describes the brothers being sent down by Yaakov and Perek Membeis to get food because of the famine, so the Torah describes their arrival in Egypt in the following way. Yavo'u b'nei Yisrael lishvor b'soch habayim. The brothers came down to get their provisions b'soch habayim. They were amongst many who came to Egypt in that need. Ki'ayarav b'eretz Kanan. It wasn't like they had some novel idea. Everyone knew you got to go to Egypt to get food. And they were from that group of people. So it's interesting. It's completely unnoticeable in any other context, except for the fact that the Talmud Yerushalmi has a Gzer Shava. And in essence, if you wanted to describe a Gzer Shava, what it does is it takes words which are completely unmemorable, but because of an association, can sometimes build very memorable landmarks out of it. So the word which is completely, as I say, unnoticeable or unmemorable from this pasuk of all words is Besoch, in the midst. The word Besoch Habayim. What is the significance of Besoch? So the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, and the Masech the Brachos and Parag Zayin says that there's exactly Shava Toch Toch. The Toch here. What's the other Toch? And Parag Zemur. Dashti Besoch B'nai Yisrael. The idea of Kiddush Hashem has to be Besoch. What does the association come to teach us of all things? That any Davar Shebikdusha, something that requires anything that is acquires the status of Kedusha, needs to be with a group of 10. Why do we have 10? Malahala Nasara. How many brothers went down? Binyamin, we know, didn't go down, and Yosef was already there. 10 brothers went down. Avkan Asara. This, according to Talmud Yerushalmi, again, it's unbelievable. And those of us, certainly men, it's such a ubiquitous part of our religious life, this idea of minyan. And it's hard to imagine that there are too many things more central to our life. And yet, I don't know what the lesson of it is, if anything, but it's striking to consider, how humble its beginnings are. Huh? So that's the Gemara Bavli. The Gemara Bavli has a different limit, but it's also a Gzer Shava. It's also a Gzer Shava. Right? Eda, the same mechanics, but here it's Besoch Besoch. So, again, the Gemara Megillah, Tafchav Gimel Mebez, is the Bavli, which is the parallel, and it actually is a different limud, as you correctly point out. But in light of this Talmud Yerushalmi, I want to speak about a little bit relating to Minyan. In fact, last year, Parshas Miketz, we spoke about who is eligible to be counted for a Minyan, and we spoke about whether, in certain circumstances, and if not why, women count or don't count for a minyan. And that was our Miketz here, again, based on that same Yerushalmi. Tonight I want to focus more on the idea of not who is eligible to count for a minyan, but what is the urgency that we should daven with a minyan, and at least to discuss two types of somewhat common scenarios, one more than another, in which we have unconventional ways of fulfilling this idea of davening with a minyan. Now, the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Ches Amar Aleph, and there's other Gemaras as well, number Mamari Chazal, this is a classic example, Darshan certain psukim to teach us that there is a certain milah of davening in the tzibur. The Gemara Brachos there describes it as an ace ratzon when the tzibur is davening based on the pasuk of Anis Tefilasi. And there's other Mamari Chazal like that. And in fact, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tzadi is Yishtadel Adam, that a person should try and endeavor greatly to daven im hatzibur. The Rambam has a slightly similar idea. The Rambam Hilchos Tefillah Parches says that a person should sarach adam l'shatef atzmo im hatzibur. He should conjoin himself with the tzibur. Now the truth is, if you want it to be really meduyak, it doesn't say you're obligated to daven with a minyan. And if you take a look, there's a sefer, I didn't have a chance to, I don't own it, but I remember from years ago I saw it, and sure enough, this morning I was at Ner Yisrael for a bris, and I was walking out of the suda with Rav Shrabi Neuberger, and our good and dear friend Joey had already clued him in on my topic. So as he was walking out, he says to me, "Fuchs, Tzvila B'tibur." So I said, "I know the sefer, Baruch Hashem, I don't have it, I didn't have a chance to look at it." But he has, if I remember correctly, it was either in his introduction or in Perek Aleph. I saw this years ago. He has a very beautiful discussion where he collects a lot of the Mar Mekomis about whether it's really, is there really a chiyuv to daven with a minyan? Or, alternatively, is it just a very, very good advice that Chazal are giving you? As we have, again, in this Maamar Chazal and others, that your tefillah is Yoser Nishmeis, it's more likely to be accepted or acted upon by God in some kind of mystical way. And the bottom line is, if you take a look there, especially in Rishonim and early Achronim, you have a lot of people who say it's not an absolute chiyuv. Especially for Ma'ariv, but even for Shachris, Minchor, even something like Musaf. Nevertheless, Lamaisa, two Makoros, one in particular worth noting. One is the Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi. Eretz Tzvi is the great Kosher Glover, one of the preeminent Talmidim of the Avnei Nezer, and I've mentioned him in the past. For those who are familiar with the campus on YU, he's otherwise known as Floor 5A in the library. Because when you get off the elevator and you look to your right, there's a big picture of the Kosher Glover, because one of his grandchildren donated the floor in his memory. So it's a great schus to ever to look for Sfarim and to learn on the Floor 5A of the library. And the Eretz Tzvi is on that floor. And I don't know if the librarians realize when they did that or not, but it is there, so that's my shirt. So he points out that in light of a number of Makaros, which we know of, that talk about how nowadays we really have a very poor kavana when we daven, and that empirical assumption affects a number of halachos. The Ramah already talks about, right, the chasen on the night of his wedding and things like that. So Eretz Tzvi says, so too here, it used to be just good advice. You know, if you'll daven with a minion, it'll help your kavana, it'll help your tefillah. But that was assuming that if you weren't in a minyan, you were going to still daven well. But nowadays, he says, we daven much better with a minyan, and certainly the milah of a minyan is such that it's certainly obligatory for anyone who takes tefillah seriously. That's one marmakam to keep in mind. A more, if you will, central and relevant marmakam, I guess, is a well-known tshuva of Rav Moshe, which I first would become familiar with from that sefer Tefillah B'Tzibur. He quotes this, where Rav Moshe writes the following. He has the following tshuva, which I, years ago, dubbed to my, I thought, the way I remember this tshuva is I call it the Shana Bet tshuva. Namely, you have somebody who's first year based medrash and starts getting very serious about learning, and then all of a sudden they wake up and they realize, oh my gosh, I don't know anything. And I have to learn everything this year. So what do? They can't go to sleep. So they're learning, they're up so late that it's hard to wake up in the morning for minyan. So that's exactly the shaila that Rav Moshe had, without that Shana Bet issue. That was my addition. Kinyan Shinui, I just added that. Rav Moshe was asked by a Talmud Chacham, he learns well at night, but he stays up so late, he can't get up. Right? I am constitutionally wired towards this shuva. Not necessarily Rav Moshe's answer, though, unfortunately, but so I could have been the one who asked the question, let's put it that way, well after my Shana Bet year. I'm definitely a night owl. So Rav Moshe says, absolutely not. He says, again, he goes through the whole sugya, you can look up there if you want the Maamar Kamas, but he assumes, when the Shulchan Aruch says, yishtadel, it does not just mean it's a nice thing, it's an absolute chiv, you absolutely must daven, and therefore, in Besibur, and therefore no one has a right, even for the sake of learning. Rav Moshe says, you don't have a right to miss minyan. It's worth noting, although I didn't have a chance to see otherwise, but as in that same very brief conversation, Rav Shragi mentioned to me that Rav David Kronglass, Zichrono Livracha, always used to make a very similar point. I don't know exactly the years. I don't remember when this year Rav Moshe Tshuva was written. So for all I know, it was inspired by Rav Moshe Tshuva, or independent, or maybe even predated Rav Moshe Tshuva, but apparently he always used to speak about this Yishtadel, and it doesn't really so much mean Yishtadel. And what Rav Shragi told me, and if somebody, maybe Joey or someone, can help me with, if you could speak to Rav Shragi, he said to me that the Rambam uses that Lashon by Minyan, but he also uses it by Karban Pesach. So we see that it's not just a nice idea. Karban Pesach is a chiyuv. Now, I checked, and I could not find that Lashon in the Rambam. Again, the Lashon, which is similar in the Rambam, is Tzarech Adam L'Shatef Atzmo. Yishtadel is from the Shulchan Aruch. But either way, they're similar Lashonos. But I did not see that in Karban Pesach. So if someone could find it for me, or be in touch with someone who could help us find it, I would like to know that. And it certainly would support this idea, again, apparently that Rav David said, or that Rav Moshe said, that Yishtadel cannot be taken as just, it's a good idea. Really, there is a chiyuv to daven b'tzibur. And just to give you a second tshuva of Rav Moshe, he also mentions the following. Again, it relates a little bit to that Eretz Tzvi. But let's say, in theory, someone says, I daven better b'yechidus. I could see that. Especially if the minyan is a little too fast. But even without that, some people, I don't know if he had this in mind specifically, but the Rebbes seem to daven, in private seclusion, right? Many Rebbes daven in some side room, even though everyone else is davening. So that's a different milah. That's davening at the same time as the tzibur. But I don't know if it's in a separate room. If there was 9 people in the big base medrash and the Rebbe was in that room, I don't know if he would count that as a minyan. That's a real machitza, a mafsekes, to be in a separate room. So the bottom line is, I don't know if Rav Moshe was, you know, giving an anti-Hasidic shot across the bow or not. The bottom line is Rav Moshe says, even if you have better kavana, b'yichidus, you have no right. Whether it's, again, so even if you think learning is good and davening better, doesn't matter. This is a chiv. You have to conform yourself. It's not subject to your personal whims. So that's worth knowing. And a final Mar Malkam, which I just learned today, Diane Weiss in the Minchas Yitzchak, he also is, you know, massaging, if you will, this Lashon of Yishtadel. And he says that the Yishtadel here, again, it doesn't seem to work exactly in the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch, but he's, at least not to me, but he says the Yishtadel here is to be in shul. In other words, sometimes there are minyanim, maybe we've heard of such things, in a house. So he says, Yishtadel not to be in a house. Yishtadel not to be in a house, says Diane Weiss. Yishtadel to be in a shul. But the very fact you have to daven the tzibur, says Diane Weiss, that was not the Yishtadel. That's obvious. It's a chiyuv to daven the tzibur. Yishtadel was, don't daven in a house, daven in a shul. So I don't know if that's Lashon Pashtus or the Shulchan Aruch at all, but again, the reason I mentioned it to you is, again, you have all these great poskim assuming that you're chayiv to daven in a minyan, and then they're just, so to speak, figuring out what do they do with the Shulchan Aruch Yishtadel. But at least this group, which seems to be the modern-day consensus, is not willing to take it at its face value, which might imply that it's just a good idea. Okay, Adkan, part one of the shir. Part two, I want to focus now, what's one of, there's a lot of unique signatures, if you will, to davening b'tzibor. Kedusha, Kaddish, all sorts of things which we can only do b'tzibor, but I want to focus on particular for the rest of this year in two different ideas, the issue of Chazar Sashatz. I'm not going to discuss talking about Chazar Sashatz. I think my opinion is well known on that, which is not different than any other rabbi in history. I have no novel and original opinions of talking. But there are a lot of halachas, obviously, that relate, and it's a very, very challenging phenomenon. I state that not to excuse or defend anyone's behavior, but I'm also recognizing the reality. It's a very challenging thing, and guess what? It's been challenging, at least we can document, since the time of the Rambam. And we'll get to that, a very well-known shuva of the Rambam. But maybe even earlier, but at least the earliest I know of, that Chazar Sashatz was a challenge, was at least as early as the Rambam in Egypt, and maybe even earlier, I don't know. But be that as it may, we still have to deal with it, so to speak, and we have to try to improve ourselves in that area. And I want to speak about, though not anything mussary, just specifically from a halachic perspective, what's the role of Chazar Sashatz? And as I said, two more somewhat unconventional ways where perhaps if we're running late, either because the minyan started without us, we're late to minyan, also known to happen, or as a minyan, but there's time pressures. We're running, we have to run to the smorgasbord, we have the wedding after, you know, and we have to get to the chuppah, and we have to get to afternoon seder. I want to discuss the minhag of the yeshivas, hechei kedusha, etc. Those are some of the unconventional things I want to talk about. So the basis, the idea of Chazar Sashatz, comes from a Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara there seems to be very clear that the reason that the Chazal, by which I mean the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, instituted Chazar Sashatz was because of the Eino Baki. There were people who were illiterate, they couldn't daven, and they didn't know it by heart. If you take a look in the Torah, in Aruch Chaim, the Siman Memtes, and other Nasekelim, we give you a very fascinating history of the earliest centuries and evolution of davening, and they point out that Pesukei Zimra was Tehillim. People that in those days knew that by heart. They didn't need to have anything like that for Pesukei Zimra. And Kriya Shema was Kriya Shema. People knew that by heart also. But Tefillah, which was a whole new nusach, it was written. It was new. It wasn't short. People didn't know it. And therefore, that's why it was Dafka Shmona Esrei that had this idea. It's just as important or just as relevant for the other Tefillahs too. But they apparently were, it was just a practical reason that it wasn't needed for those. It's interesting that the tour, when he discusses this later in some of Kuf Dalid, he points out something. I'm not sure what to make of this, because it seems, on the one hand, it's obviously true. On the other hand, it's not from the Gemara. But when he's describing, he's really he presents it as just a paraphrasing of that Gemara, Masechta Rosh Hashanah. He says that there's a reason that Chazal were Mesak and Chazar Sashatz for those who couldn't daven on their own. And he says, because of Kedusha. And so if we didn't have Chazar Sashatz, we couldn't have Kedusha. Now, it's on one hand, it's obviously true, by definition. On the other hand, that's not what the Gemara said. So he just adds it. It's interesting. The Aruch HaShulchan paraphrases the tour, and he adds, of all things, Brichas Kohanim. Right, we're not going to have that if we don't have Chazar Sashatz. So this, that we rely on it. Right. So, again, that's really ancillary to the essence of Chazar Sashatz. That I'm not surprised that it's not mentioned. But it is interesting, again, I don't know what to make of it, other than just to mention it to you, that they focus on that as opposed to the Gemara itself. Another fascinating thing, I don't know if it's It's certainly not the Pasha that I understood it. I don't know if there's any way historically to verify this or not, but the Aruch HaShulchan describes a fascinating reality. He suggests that kind of the way it evolved was because we wanted to have Kedusha, so by definition we had to say the first three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei out loud. So then we could have had Kedusha. Now in theory, so we could have stopped. We also wanted, as he's the one who mentioned, Brachos Kohanim. So we would have had to, by definition, then skip to the last three brachos. Once we have the first three brachos and the last three brachos, that's how he learns the Gemara. Then the Gemara plugs in. So why didn't we just do three and three, right? It would have been shorter. So the Gemara plugs in the middle 12, not the middle 12, excuse me, the middle 12, and 13 nowadays, but the middle 12, because of the Ein B'Kiyin. I don't know if that's, an accurate portrayal of how it evolved, but that's the Aruch HaShulchan's, nevertheless, that's his understanding. Now, once you have such a clear demarcation and comment by the Gemara that the basis of the Kavaras HaShatz is so that people who are not Bekim can daven, so immediately in all of our minds, what does it open up the possibility? Yeah, once you have educated ladies, so then why do you need it? Right? So who, or Siddurim, right? You don't even have to be, well, you have to be, at least you have to be literate. You got to be able to read. You don't even have to be educated. You just have to be able to read.
Maybe that's why yeshivas
have We'll get to it. I don't have much to say about it, but we'll get to it. We will get to it. So the truth of the matter is that thinking, which I wouldn't necessarily call mischievous, though, we're just called taking something to its logical conclusion, we're not the first to think of it. It was already proposed to the Rambam. The Rambam in a tshuva discusses this, not in Mishnah Torah. The Rambam in a tshuva discusses this, and he makes a very strong point, which is quoted by other Rishonim and by all of the poskim afterwards, which is, again, it has broad ramifications beyond Tfilah B'Tzibur. He says, when Chazal were Mesachin Chazos HaShatz, in his terms, that is a takana kavua. As it takes on, from a legalistic perspective, a life of its own, and therefore, barring, I guess, in theory, the Sanhedrin HaGadol could overturn it, they could overturn anything, that's Midrabanan. But barring that, even though the reason doesn't apply, this is one of the classic Maramakomas that make this point, which, as you all know, has wider application. But here the Rambam is very clear and very powerful, and it's quoted by a lot of other Rishonim, even let alone Achronim, that this is a Tana Kana Kavua, it is firmly established, and therefore, even though the Gemara tells us the reason, we still are not going to ignore or apply what would have otherwise been the logical conclusion. In addition, which again you don't get in the Rambam itself, and I would guess that it's not at all a motivating factor for the Rambam, but has been for others, is that there's also a mystical tradition. It's interesting. The Arizal, in particular, is quoted in a lot of different circles as being incredibly, I'm not doing it justice to put it this way, but incredibly pro-Chazar Sashatz, seeing it as actually perhaps even the primary, even more important than the Tefillah B'Lachash in some mystical way. And in fact, as we know, the Arizal, very tremendous impact even in Tzfat, and the Beis Yosef speaks about in Tzfat how machped they were, and we'll see in a moment, in a few minutes, how that becomes very relevant in a number of tshuvas of Rav Avi Yosef, for example, and even dealing with an issue of the North African community, which we'll see in a moment has a unique minhag. So the bottom line is, despite the fact that the Gemara seems to specifically connect it and make it dependent on a very practical reason, which logically you might have applied one way or the other, bottom line is, it doesn't seem to be relevant, either for mystical reasons or for legalistic reasons. Chazar Shatz is here, and it's here to stay. That's kind of the message that you get. All of this is important, but it takes on an added importance or significance because it creates even more dramatic surprise when we then move, not that far, from one shuvah of the Rambam to a second well-known, controversial/celebrated shuvah of the Rambam, where the Rambam attests and tells us that he, with his great power that he had in Egypt, abolished Chazar HaShatz. They didn't say Chazar HaShatz, at least through the rest of his lifetime, and perhaps to some level, for a certain amount of time, even after he died. Why? Because he had the same problem we have, Nebuch, 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 to our very day. We're talking. The Rambam felt it was such a Chil Hashem, it was so terrible, that people were talking throughout Chazar HaShatz. He said, just with the power vested in him, Adkan. And not only do we have this tshuva of the Rambam himself, but there's a second tshuva of Rav Avraham ben HaRambam, quoted in the Sefer Lokeach and others, who also, again, confirms, elaborates on, attests to the fact that this is not a forgery, this is not a rumor, this in fact happened, not just theoretically. This is a halacha ulamaisa. Not only did I think it should be done, in fact, it was done. Now, I don't have, as well as I should, the exact chronology on the tip of my fingers, but as you know, really, other than or after the Rambam, it wasn't certainly right after the Rambam, but certainly hundreds of years ago, probably the next greatest, and maybe since then, the last great halachist from Egypt was the Radvaz. The Radvaz was from Egypt, and the Radvaz has a equally important, well-known tshuva quoted by Poskim, in which someone asked the Radvaz, listen, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. Unless he did some form of a hecha. That wouldn't have helped for Birkas Kohanim, but maybe, I don't remember if it says that, but logically, yes, that would be my intuition until someone showed me otherwise, yes.
You can have Birkas Kohanim, the independent...
who said?
Maybe that's what they had.
I don't know. Yeah.
Have you reconciled it? You said it's
Takana? Yeah. I said it, that's why I presented it the way I did. It's very surprising. He felt, again, as I said, by the power vested in him, that he, and we'll see, again, we will see in a moment, I'm about to show you, that as powerful as Rambam was, at least in his lifetime, but in short, not that long after he died, even Bimakomo, the force of not only tradition, but his own other tshuva, prevailed in the other way. It's a good question. It's a little bit beyond my depth. You know, that's a really, you'll have to speak to a historian. I don't know. I don't know if there was a breakaway. I don't know if there was a kiddush club. I don't know.
I mean, because of ace lassos,
you can do all sorts. Yeah, but usually an individual person, let alone an individual rishon, right? But as I said, the Rambam was the Rambam,
he felt.
He wasn't saying therefore it doesn't apply because they're bikiyim. On the contrary, that might have been complete amaratzim, but it didn't matter. He felt the churban was outweighing the good. So the Radvaz was asked the following shaila. There were people already, again, I don't remember the exact chronology of how many years after the Rambam died that this was. Radvaz is certainly later, but I don't remember exactly how long later. But they asked the Rambam, can we go back? The people came, I don't know which people, and I'm sure someone wasn't happy with these people. There's no doubt about that. But they asked the Radvaz, can we go back, or is it already minug ba'asra? Maybe this is our minug now not to do it. And the Radvaz has a very important tshuva, which is quoted again. This is one of these seminal tshuvas on the topic, which then gets quoted by everyone afterwards, where the Radvaz, again, makes the point, with all great respect to the Rambam, he marshals all the marmakomos, you know, before this psak of the Rambam, how important it is and how central it is, and how you have to do it, and therefore, not only is there nothing wrong with, you know, abandoning the Rambam's decision. On the contrary, it's a mitzvah gedola, lachzir ateres leyoshna. We should bring back chazaras hashatz, and I believe kachave in Egypt around that time. Now, what do you do, or is there anything to do in light of the fact that we have a chazaras hashatz now? And again, it's a challenge to those of us, to many of us who should be listening and following and not talking. But the bottom line is there could be some advantages to it. Let's say someone that comes late to davening, or either they just get there for mincha, for example, or even if it's shacharis, but they're running late, and they are not able to daven the tefillah b'lachash with everyone else, but they are up and ready for the chazaras hashatz. Is there any hope, so to speak, for them? So, in the context of mincha, for example, the Beis Yosef quotes different minhagim, so to speak. In this regard, and the truth is that by the time you come to the contemporary poskim, there seems to be a major machlokas already in the last generation about the following. A number of poskim, the Eshel Avram of Buchach, the holy Buchacher, we sometimes quote in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, not to be confused with the Prima Gadim's Eshel Avram, but perhaps more well known is the Shita of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, both, it seems, in his Sefer Chazon Ish, and in, you know, there's a multi-volume intellectual biography called Orchos Rabbeinu, of him and the Stipler. So there it's also mentioned very clearly that he believed this. So Stipler held that if you have not davened your quiet Shmoneh Esrei with everyone else, what you should do is say quietly to yourself, word for word, along with the Chazan. Don't become 2 minutes late instead of trying to get through a little bit of Shmoneh Esrei and then you'll be still davening when they start Chazan shots. Better yet, wait. Wait till the Chazan begins his repetition. And you should say it word for word to yourself along with him. And the Chazon Ish apparently believed, as the Buchacher did and others, that that was Tzila B'Tzibor Mamish. That was just as good as gold. That was just as good as davening Tzila B'Tzibor, the way we think of it more conventionally. I mentioned not only the Chazon Ish talks about this, Rav Avadja has a tshuva. There's the Igeres Sofrim, which is letters from the Sofer family, most notably, of course, the Chassam Sofer, Moshe Schreiber. And there the Chacham Sofer seems to take this opinion strongly as well. Nevertheless, also there's a sefer called Tefila Kehilchosa. That's the same author as the Tefila B'Tzibur, and this one I do have, Tefila Kehilchosa. If you take a look in the back, he has a letter from Rav Wozner. A letter from Rav Wozner, the Baal Shevet Alevi, contemporary of Posek and Bnei Brak. So he also discusses this and seems to be pro, or at least defends the position of the Chassam Sofer. Nevertheless, there were others, most notably the Eshel Avram, the Prima Gadim, Rav Yitzchak Zonnenfeld in the Salmas Chaim, and perhaps more recently, Rav Moshe, who felt that this was going too far. Rav Moshe actually suggests that people are misreading the Chazon Ish and he didn't mean it. Rav Moshe suggests that perhaps the Chassam Sofer was a forgery. Rav Wozner gets very upset at him, but as you know the Chassam Sofer and you read this letter, this is the way he talks, it's his style. He very much defends, disagrees with Rav Moshe on that historical point. But be that as it may, this whole other group of postum suggests that you cannot say that that's Tefila B'Tzibur. Tefila B'Tzibur is davening your quiet Shmoneh Esrei, which is your chiyuv, with everyone else, with the presence of the minion. But they suggest that it is a mila better. In other words, if the alternative is just davening completely by yourself, or davening along with them, so there's two formulations that they have, if you will, 2A and a 2B. One is just a general, it's a mila, it's nice, it's good. And one of the other poskim, the Kafachayim, I thought this was very sharp, he said that this is actually a key of something I alluded to before, which is that the Shulchan Aruch tells us in general that if you can't make it to shul, if you know, at 8:20, they're up to Shmoneh Esrei, there's a certain mila, even if you're at home, of davening at the same time as the tzibur. So says the Kav HaChaim, whatever it's getting, it's hard to quantify what that means. You know, how many mitzvah points is it? What percentage of it is it compared to, if Tefila B'Tzibur is a 10, so what is this? A 5, a 7, 8, I don't know. But it's something, the Gemara talks about it, the Shulchan Aruch says it. So the Kav HaChaim says, so say it's the same thing, you're not at home. It's an unconventional reason, atypical, but the bottom line is you're davening at the same time as the tzibur. It's a new getter called tefila im ha-tzibur, but it's not tefila b'tzibur or even tefila ha-tzibur. It's just at the same time as the tzibur. And there's a mila to that. It's not nothing, but it's not, you shouldn't count it. So again, it's a kind of an academic debate, other than maybe in certain theoretical circumstances, maybe, according to the Chazon Ish, you might be more deliberate about waiting, because he really holds your tefila b'tzibur as opposed to other. You know, if it's not really fully filled with seaboard, maybe the other contravening factors, I don't know. But for the most part, it's an academic debate, but it's certainly worth considering. You have this whole group of poskim, most notably the Chazon Ish, who really feels that this is mamish tefila b'tzibur. And again, as someone who is often running late, it's something to keep in mind, that sometimes, especially, mincha tomorrow, which is maybe, other than last week's mincha, the two hardest minyanim to make of the year, sometimes, it's notable, people come in, and I'll tell you right now, this is a Shomrei-specific tzak, since I'm not even sure where this happens, if someone were to come in, whether it's next tomorrow or any other Friday, Arab Shabbos, before tefila b'tzibur, and the alternative is to daven one of those hallway minyanim, or come into shul and do this with the shatz, this is infinitely better than doing that for a lot of other reasons, not least of which is the zman. but other reasons also, davening in that side room, the kavana, it's not a good, those minyanim are not so great. Whatever. So if you have this option, this is better than going off to some side room and making a minyan. This is better, according to Chazon Ish, tefila b'tzibur mamish. So that is just an interesting and, so to speak, unconventional phenomenon which happens, which it's worth really, I think, considering.
The choice between davening, if you come in late, you're going to start 2 minutes into Shmoneh Esrei, while they're still davening, or waiting for the whole thing.
So that's what the Chazon Ish would say, for sure you should wait.
But Rav Moshe says that it's mamish tefila, doesn't he say it's mamish tefila, but Sibor, as long as
Yeah, that's one of the many reasons. Yes, that's why. So this is this is its own shir, or at least its own part of a shir, which I wasn't going to discuss, which is in the more typical way. What do you have to be doing to get your full mitzvah, your tefillah v'tzibur points? In other words, is it saying the whole? Do you have to start Hashem Sifasai Tiftach at this exact same moment? What if the chazan is up to already the second bracha, and when you're just getting started, this impacts lots of things, like people who say Shema slower than the tzibur. So should they, do they risk losing tefillah v'tzibur as long as you're davening with at the same time to other people? There's a lot of shitas about that. This promotion is important for that too, but that's not a simple question. But obviously, the more you see the fact that, let's say, as maybe Ramosha's attributed to have said, attributed by Joey in this case. But again, there are a lot of shitas that discuss this. If you would believe, whether it's Ramosha or somebody else, that just davening at the same time as other people are davening, even though you're starting when they're all the way up to Ritzei, still counts. So then it's 6 and 1/2 thousand of the other, perhaps, you could argue. But especially if you don't think that, and there are opposing who don't, the poskim will hold, you have to start mamish with the tzibur, or at the very least, within the first 3 brachos. There's other shitos out there. So then, if you, according to them, it's certainly better. I would also say you have to keep in mind, and this may be something more personal, and I could see different people, but which one's going to help you have more kavana? In other words, it's sometimes difficult if you know that by the time you're up to Rifa'enu, the chazan is going to be doing his chazar shats and it's going to be kedusha. I find that sometimes when I'm in that situation, it's very hard to concentrate. Now, I'm not saying it's the easiest thing to do on the other hand either, but you have to decide. I can see different people having easier kavanah in different times. If you're standing, you know, in your place but following with the chazan word for word, that might be easier than you're in Rifa'enu when the chazan is on Asa Kodosh, which can very, very easily get confusing for kavanah. I want to just... I'm sorry.
Tefillah v'tzibur in the proper way, though. I mean, is tefillah v'tzibur now again mitzvah tefillah v'tzibur, or is it just Chazal's pragmatic approach that you want your tefillah accepted? So if I want my tefillah accepted, the best way to do it is tefillah v'tzibur.
I think
I'm at home as everyone else is, because it's more like
this. I hear your question. So I think that might be a way of formulating, even to a certain extent, the machlokas. In other words, I think the Chazon Ish holds that. Lamosha, we know that Ramosha certainly held. I don't know offhand what the Chazon Ish's opinion was, but Ramosha certainly held that there's a chiv to daven b'tzibur. So let's assume that as an axiom, that there's a chiv to daven b'tzibur, not in addition to the fact that there's also a benefit. But the question is, so what can you do in order to fulfill the chiv? The Chazon Ish's answer is daven mila b'mila along with the shatz. And on that point itself, Rav Moshe is not convinced that you get a full chiyuv, but he does think you get at least, you know, some partial mitzvah.
Mila b'mila all the way through.
So the Moshe will give you an example. If you take a look on the Sefer Isha Yisrael, which is like a more modern, it's like the Hilak Hilchos on steroids. It's like twice as long and 3 times as many footnotes. It's written by a protege of Rav Neubert. In fact, the style of the Sefer, even in the pagination, is just a bigger Shmir Shabbos Chalchaza, and on a different topic. But that's the protege of Rav Neubert. So he, in a footnote, he points out explicitly that, Lamashal, you should say Lador Vador, if you're in the Sechash Nashul. He's just saying it along with the Chazan. What do you do during Modim? So this is not clear to me. You certainly don't say Modim Darabonon. The question is, do you either, you say word for word with the regular modim, which hopefully the chazan knows what he's doing, the chazan saying out loud. Not all chazanim know that, but they should say modim out loud. It's part of the chazan shas like anything else. And then you're supposed to go all the way through. And when the chazan finishes one asrei, right, so then you say, you know, the hilurat son, and you do your, then you do the time of Torah, which the chazan is not going to do. Yeah.
When a person is saying along with the Sibur Balachash.
Right.
And there's many people there in the shul. Everybody's saying it at their own speed. I mean, so could be, you know, coincidentally I'm saying it as fast as this gentleman or this gentleman.
Right.
But for the most part, I'm speaking
right.
At speed. In my case, I'm diving quicker maybe than an average. Some people, I'm certainly finishing always before the rabbi, whatever shul happens to be in. So, but I'm Yotze. I mean, it's not an issue of my saying a particular word.
Right.
So why, if I'm saying it, if I came late for that, and I'm now saying it with the shield, why do I have
because
to
that's
say
how,
word for word with him? Why, if I'm starting...
I'll tell you why. Because you have to figure out how you plugging in. To be honest, If you assume the davening with Tzibur, and this is again, for those who have that sefer, I'm happy to make a copy for you. This letter by Rav Wozner is very interesting. He's a little bit struggling with Rav Moshe, but he's very much getting to the heart of what makes the Tzibur. And again, this is its own topic, which was not my direct topic for tonight. I guess we'll know, Joey, if you're in mind, what Miketz will be next year, because again, obviously there's a lot to talk about. But assuming that on some level, whether it means starting the whole time, whatever, but the general understanding of Tefillah B'Tzibur in the conventional term is where you have a group of at least 10, if not more, people davening. They've come together. And that's the Rav Wozner's point formulation. They are niskahel together. They gathered together to daven. So by coming together to daven, even if that creates the Tzibur, that's what generates the ability to say Kedusha and Kaddish. You know, you said Kaddish before you got to Shemon Esrei. How can you do it? Because there's 10 people here. We weren't saying anything, but our presence, Toch, the beginning of our shir, our presence creates a halakhic reality. So when it comes to Shemon Esrei, since we're all davening at the same time, and again, that's where you can imagine why you have different poskim struggling with. You know, do you have to just start at the same time, or on the other extreme, doesn't matter if you're even starting at the same time, as long as we're still in the same room together, maybe that's enough to create, to continue the tzibur. But there's some relationship that we have together, which therefore gives this added, whether it's benefit or chiyuv, fulfillment, while we're together. But once everyone else has done Shemon Esrei, presumably that's over. Again, it's a chiddush. You've lost your chance. You didn't daven with the tzibur. So the chiddush of the Chazon Ish, or whoever follows him, is that even though it's not 10 people davening now, it's only one, it's the Chazon. But because of his unique status, he is the Shaliach Tzibur, so by somehow saying it along with him, and it's not exactly sure why this is, but they assume that you're, so to speak, plugging in, and you are, so to speak, piggybacking on the Chazon, and therefore you can fulfill your mitzvah. Listen, there's an alternative which is not as good, but is certainly discussed by poskim, which is sitting there and just listening to the chazan in a kind of a shomei ka'ona way. So this is even better. You're actually saying it. But the bottom line is, you don't need to plug into a chazan when we're all davening ourselves. When you've missed that and you're just piggybacking on the chazan for chazas hashatz, so then that's where this idea comes of having to say it mila b'mila. Okay, we have a few minutes left, and I want to do our final topic for tonight, which is the issue of the Hecha, as it's known, Kedusha. Needless to say, Hecha isn't found in the Hebrew Sfarim. They call it Pekitzur, but that's what they mean. That's the Hecha Kedusha. Quick. Hecha, be loud. Loud? Okay, good. I stand corrected. Loud. Oh, we're all saying it out loud. Okay, good. 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 Thank you. So, the Beis Yosef actually quotes this, even though in theory it's just as applicable to Shacharis, but it's almost unheard of during Shacharis. But the Beis Yosef, but in theory there's no difference. Beis Yosef talks about this in the context of Mincha, and quotes different approaches in the Rishonim about what to do if you're in a Shas HaPchak. Shas HaPchak here is defined as you're running up against the Zman. Now, what's the Zman for Mincha? It's its own complicated Shaila. So even if we'll agree that it's Shkia, and even if we'll agree that Shkia is what it says, so to speak, in the newspaper or whatever, but what does that mean? All of the private Shemon Esrei, the beginning of Chazar Sashatz, the end of Chazar Sashatz, Aleinu, what has to happen before Shkia? So again, a different topic. But let's assume that, for argument's sake, it means starting Chazar Sashatz. Let's assume that's what it means. Starting Chazar Sashatz should be before Shkia. So let's say, if you go through a regular Shemon Esrei, you're not going to be able to get to that point. So the Beis Yosef discussed this. He quotes from the Kolbo that Mincha, you shouldn't think Mincha is like Cinderella, Meirev is Cinderella. Mincha is no different than Shacharis. It's not a stepsister. It needs everything the Shacharis does. It does need Chazar Sashatz. Apparently there was a thought that maybe it didn't. But unless it's some terrible Shas HaTchak, it's some difficult situation. And he says, interestingly enough, the way the Beis Yosef quotes it is, that the Sephardim don't have this custom, but the Ashkenazim do have the custom to have Chazar Sashatz for Mincha. And the Beis Yosef says, the Minhag of the Ashkenazim is more correct. If you take a look, therefore, in the Shulchan Aruch, both in Reish Lamed Beis, as well, or in Kuf Chav Dal, those are the two simanim where this is discussed, both times the Shulchan Aruch makes it clear that you have to have Chazal Shatz for Shacharis, obviously for Mincha as well, and that cannot be just blithely ignored unless there is some great Shas Atchak. That is the language of the Shulchan Aruch. What do you do if you have a Shas Atchak? So it's interesting the way the Shulchan Aruch describes it. It's that, I don't know what, if there are any communities that follow this, but the Shulchan Aruch's formulation is basically that we all daven quietly, and then the Chazan only says certain parts out loud. Skips parts, says certain parts, but comes along already to the Ramah and describes the reality which is much more akin to what you and I refer to as Hecha Kedusha. But here's where our first practical question comes in before we get to when you should be doing this, when you shouldn't be. How do you do this? So if you take a look at the language of the Ramah, it's very clear that the Ramah had the following in mind, that when the Chazan starts, Baruch Atah Hashem, everyone is saying it along with him. It's virtually beferish in the Ramah. Now, I have to admit that until not long ago when I had seen that Ramah inside, I was familiar with the practice and I always thought it was kind of a quirky Wayu thing. Because in Wayu, this is ubiquitous. Whenever they, you know, and certainly Mamay Rabbeim, that whenever they do, I assume it went from the Rav, maybe it goes to the Vilna Gaon, you know, one of those Vilna Gaon brisk traditions, there are many of them, and this one is very prevalent at Wayu with all the Rabbeim that I had, that when they've been in the context of Hecha Kedusha, everyone says along. You'll see everyone, you know, bending, etc., as the Chazan. Then they get to Kedusha, and everyone says Kedusha, and then everyone says Ata Kadosh Shalador Vador with the Chazan, and then everything goes quiet, and everyone's at the same. Oh, so it's interesting. It's interesting. I have to go back in my memory bank to think about what's going on all those years in Shir. But Lamaisa, the Ramah, this very same Ramah, he suggests, if at all possible, best that one person shouldn't do this, so at least one person is saying Amen. Unless it's a super duper Shas Atchak, and then that one person would really not be able to say Tefillah on time. Let's say, imagine it's right before Shia or something like that. So then the Mishabur and others talk about, well, if you have a child, can that child be the one who says Amen? That's it. You're on the mark, Louis. That is a not. I don't want to talk about that now, but that is something that the Ramah mentions as an aside, which he was concerned about. But nevertheless, it is clear from the Ramah that the way to do Hecha Kedusha is for everyone to say it out loud, say it along with the Chazan. Most places do not do it that way. Where does that come from? So that comes from the Ramah. And it seems like the Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah quotes, I don't remember who, if he quotes in the name of someone, I think he does, that should only be done in a super duper Shas Atchak. Because again, the bottom line is it's at least a minute or something before you even start Shemon Esrei. You know, if you're not going to wait, if you're going to wait until everyone says Kedusha before you start Shemon Esrei, that's a minute later. So what if you can't afford that minute? But if that minute will be the difference between making it in time or not. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if that's really the difference, what I'm trying to say is the Mishnah Berurah didn't see this as some kind of halachic kiyum. Mishnah Berurah still saw this as a cop-out. It's one level lower. It's even quicker. It's even faster. You're getting done even faster. So Mishnah Berurah says, but great, Shas Atchak Gadol, you could even do that. But again, I didn't have a chance to look it up or even speak to someone. My impression is that whether it's the Ramah slash, if you will, Minhag Brisk, is that I think they saw it actually as much more fundamental than that. Again, I'm not saying that you couldn't disagree with it. But that also, it's not just that they disagreed with how bidyeva this is. I think on the contrary, which is clearly the mindset of the Mishnah Berurah. I think they saw this, again, akin to that Chazon Ish mentality, that by davening with the Chazon, that's a great, you're plugging into the power source, so to speak. Or else, in what way are you having a full tefillah b'tzibur? So that is an interesting machlokus. And again, obviously, there's different minhagim, and if you're at a wedding or somewhere where you have a conflag of people from different yeshivas and different backgrounds, you, again, more prevalent is people who are quiet, but you will very often see, and it's a pretty good detector that they went to YU, but lav dafka. I'm sure there's others as well who sometimes are davening along with the chazan. So it's interesting that this will end. There is what's known, even in some of the Sfarim, as, quote, Minhag Yeshivas. And of all yeshivas, certainly one of the most famous ones, before I even moved to Baltimore, I knew about this, is that Ner Yisrael is known that every single day, right? Are there any exceptions? No exceptions. Whenever yeshiva is in session, the main meaning in the Beis Medrash, they do a Hecha Kedusha, right? And it's well before Shkia. Right? There's no mucker for such a practice in Shulchan Aruch. So when I saw Rabbi Neuberger this morning, I asked him, is there a mucker or is it just a minig? So he doesn't know of any mucker for it. The only thing he knows of is that as far as he knows, it goes back to Slobodka, which would make sense, I guess, for Luderman. But he doesn't know, other than this general sense of, you know, we don't want to waste a second of Limud Torah. And I guess that's the mentality of, maybe that's the interpretation of Shas HaTchad. Can you help?
Just an interesting aside. Yeah. Rosh Hashiva held that you have to have 11 people to do it.
Yeah, so Yanki Neuberger told me this yesterday, thank you. That he did not want to do that, right? If you have what they call a minion mitzumtzum, which is the term they use in this farm for exactly 10, which we know the Chiddush is that even though only 9 are answering, that is okay. But for Hechei Kedusha, he would not allow that with 10, correct? That's what Yanki told me. That's what you're saying.
Because the idea was that when you're starting to say after Kedusha, the remaining people are going to start from the beginning,
right.
Then you only have 9 people. You don't have 2
of them. Right, right. So you could have avoided that if you said along with the Chazan. Right. Right, interesting. Okay, good. So I have this recollection in my mind, I don't know if it's true or not, but again, it wouldn't be shocking, that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was also an adherent of this. And if that would be the case, right, I mean, family and yeshiva background in common. Right. If they and also Slovakian. I wanted to take a look, but I didn't have a chance. As some of you may know, there is a sefer of Rav Yaakov's, so to speak, Haharos or Nehugim on Seder Shulchan Aruch, which I own, but I didn't have a chance to take a look. So I don't know if there's anything there or not. But I, you know, I ask you, any of you know of anything or find out anything on this topic, please let me know. What I will tell you, I didn't have one Mara Makom, which I didn't have a chance, I don't have a copy of it. There's a contemporary posting in Bnei Brak called Binyamin Zilber, otherwise known as Binyamin Atzadik. So he has tshuvas called Az Nidbaru. So I saw quoted by one of the secondary sources that he has a tshuva where he, quote, defends the Minhag Yeshivas. On the other hand, I can tell you that Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva in Yechav Adas, which I just saw earlier today, which was a silly act, Minhag Yeshivas. And he blasted. But it's interesting, just to show you that, I don't know, there really may not be any written record on this. As you all know, Kedarko, whether he's agreeing or disagreeing, but he quotes everything that existed ever on a topic. This entire tshuva, even though the she'ela is, you know, is there a defense of the Minhag Yeshivos? That's the way the question is posed. Every single Mar Makom in the tshuva has nothing to do with, quote, yeshivas. It's just generally, he's regurgitating all the Mar Makomas about the importance of davening with tibur. And therefore, he gets back to yeshivas only in his conclusion, where he then is very critical. He says, therefore, a chiyuv gadol v'gomor al ha-rosh yeshivas, as he calls it, l'hachzir ateres l'yoshin, and they should reinstitute. Now again, I assume that even now that it's been made aware, I don't know if Nei Yisrael is changing, and other yeshivas, and if they're necessarily listening to Rav Avadya, but it is worth noting that even to this very day of a contemporary poskim, it's known in the Sfarim as, quote, minhag yeshivas, although it's not all yeshivas, of course, and there is some who disagree and don't, and some who defend it. Last point to mention, I don't know what his source is other than an oral tradition, but of all Sfarim, in this Tefillah B'Tzibur Sefer, he has in a footnote in this chapter of all places, Chanukah, where he adds a Masorah, and this I didn't know when I was speaking to Shragi, so if you'll speak to him, tell him this, I'm curious what the answer would be from the yeshiva's perspective, but I saw later today, that he quotes a Masorah, the name of Aaron Cutler. I don't know what they do in Lakewood, but the way it's formulated was, even those who are knowing to do this tefillah b'kitzer, this Hechei Kedusha, should not do it on Chanukah and Purim. Why? Because Tosfos holds that saying Al HaNisin as part of Chazaras HaShatz is a kiyum in Pursuming Nisa. Therefore, you have no right to lose Pursuming Nisa, which is, we know, a huge kiyum. That's quoted, I saw this in 2 Sfarim in the name of Aaron Cutler. But the second sefer was still quoting this Tefillah Kehilchosa. So I think that is the main Mara Makom, is the Tefillah Kehilchosa sefer, and he quotes this in the name of Aaron Cutler. So I don't know if there's any, it would be very fascinating if there were yeshivas, maybe it's Lakewood, I don't know, who all the rest of the year do Hecha, but Daftan, Chanukah, and Purim don't. I don't know. But my impression is that those who do it do, and those who don't, don't. Just as, you know, if we're collecting yeshivish stories, so just from my own experience, as in Shalvim, they did every day a regular lengthy Shemoneh Esrei, and in YU, so they have usually multiple minyanim going on at the same time. In the Kavua minyan in the Beis Medrash at 2:30 is a long Shemoneh Esrei, but many of the shiurim have minyan in their shiurim right then, and there the Shas HaPachak is not afternoon seder, but college. And the guys who have to run the classes. So there, at least in my shiur, I think in most of the shiurim, they do have Hechei Kedusha every day, although we did Hechei Kedusha by everyone saying it together. But so if we're collecting stats on yeshivas, we'll build a database of Maisalach, and anyone who can add to the database, it would be appreciated.